I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Wise Men Say. Happy New Year, everyone. My name is Tom Walsh and we're in sunny Blackpool today. I'm stood outside Mark Kelly's North, which promotes seven acts 7 days a week. Although there's a poster up the road that said it was nine acts every day, 7 days a week. I can only assume that there must be another Mark Ellis, because this is the north one, so I assume there's a south one as well. Anyway, the sun is shining very brightly, and there's a lot of bleary-eyed looking people wandering the promenade of Blackpool. And I've just piled off the train with a small selection of the 8,000 Sunderland fans that will be packed into Bloomfield Road this afternoon. Start of a big week for Sunderland with today and Charlton Luton and that pesky game against Newcastle coming up very soon. So hopefully we can start this week in the right way and be powered to victory. I'm not really sure what to expect from this, because Blackpool are quite a handy side despite all their off-field problems with the ownership and whatnot. But I'm hoping the large backing today will spur us to victory. We'll catch up with some people before and after the game, see if we can speak to any Blackpool fans and just whoever's about. So let's go to Blackpool. I'm here with Andy Higgins, the head of the Blackpool Supporters Trust.
Well, a committee member, I'm not the head of it.
Yeah, and he likes Leatherface.
Love Leatherface, yeah. Best band in the world.
So, we stood outside here, you're handing out leaflets, so like, tell me about your leaflets.
Yeah, well, we do it every home game. We just give them out to the away supporters to help us in our boycott of the Euston. So not many home fans go now, but away supporters, we welcome you all to Blackpool. Have a great day, enjoy it. But we just ask you politely not to finance the regime by buying any pies or pints in the ground. Use the local businesses around, because we're just trying to starve them out, basically, trying to prevent the money streams. Get rid of them, really, because they're unfit owners, pal.
So do you... What do you think of the team on the pitch? Is just like, do you still even do it anymore, or did you go to the away games or anything like that? Or is it completely drained your love of this club?
An awful lot. I mean, there's a lot of fans now that don't want Blackpool to lose, because we think it will hasten the departure of the owners. So personally, I still follow the games, but I don't go to many away games, really, because it's my team. But it's an awful state of affairs. It's been 4 years now we've been boycotting since we stopped the Huddersfield game, and that's it. And 90% of us don't go anymore. More at all. So it's bad for the local community. It's shocking, really.
So what has it done to Blackpool? I mean, this team used to be in the Premier League, and it's like, I guess I was saying to your friends there before, it's like, last time Sunderland played here, we were sixth in the Premier League, Blackpool 11th, and now we're both in League One, both mismanaged, you more so than us.
Yeah.
But, what has it done to Blackpool?
Well, it's unbelievable, really. This area around here has got the lowest life expectancy in the UK. It's a very poor area.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like governing Scotland and here, there's not a penny that's been reinvested from this club. And he stole over £30 million out of the club, the owner, which has been proven in court, in the civil courts. So it's what a poor area. The pubs are all empty. The guest houses are closing down. It's really hit the local place, you know, around here. All the pubs and everywhere suffered massively. Yeah. It's tragic, really. He's got no sense of duty to the local population at all, the Oysters. They're not from here. They don't even like football.
So when is it going to end?
We don't know. There's charges against all his properties. We can auction off the club in the civil court judgment against him for nicking money from the club. So it's hopefully going to happen next year, or this year. But Cut up a soon enough, mate.
And is it, in a way, is it bad that a team like Sunderland bring 8,000 fans down?
It's good for the Oysters. It's all cash in the pockets, isn't it?
So
like the Arsenal game as well, but
it's good to see a crowd.
It's the way it is, though. You know, most fans we speak to like yourself, they're all supportive.
But in fairness, these Sunderland fans are putting money into the local
community. Yeah, no, fair play. Yeah, no, it's great to see you all down here enjoying it, because it's our game, isn't it, really? We'll be back in there at some stage, won't we, mate? But
I sincerely hope so. Thank you.
Thank you.
So final score, Blackpool 0, Sunderland 1, and we're back in the King Edward the Seventh pub.
Hotel as well.
Nice little hotel.
I've never stayed, but I've heard good reviews.
And I'm with Graham of the Roker Report Extra podcast. So we're crossing the swords here.
That sounds a bit like an innuendo, mate, if I'm honest with you. But
so what do you reckon of that?
I thought it played really well, mate. I was just saying to you, obviously, at the match, I think when I watched it, I was trying to figure out who was the best player on the pitch. I think Maggio really stuck out, but I think everyone put in a shift. I thought it was a really good performance. I think a few people were coming out saying that it was cagey and it was scrappy, and it wasn't like the complete performance, but I don't think I can say anyone had a bad game.
Well, yeah, it's all nervous, because during that game, I did not feel nervous at any point.
There was that shot when it might have gone over the line where I put it up a little bit.
No, but it's like the officials in this league, they don't notice when the ball goes over the line, so it doesn't really matter anymore.
Which is quite handy for us. But
I was going to say, I didn't feel nervous at any point during that game. Do you think we're in complete control? Get the assumption that we're in complete control.
I never really was that worried. I felt like if they had got one back, we would have went up the other end of the pitch and put another one in. It was if we'd come away from that with a 2-0 or 3-0 win, I don't think anyone could have complained. I think there was a point where we kind of maybe sat back more than we needed to, but I think at the same time, when we sat back, no offence to Blackpool, but they were that shit, it didn't really matter, because there was one lad that hit that shot and I think it went past Rose Ed and like spun towards Preston. I felt we were in control, if I'm completely honest.
I say the fella next to me, he was saying we're so used to being in a higher division that when a striking opportunity comes like that fella had, you're expecting him to hit the top corner. Whereas in League One, now the old spoon to the Rose End, and we're like, yeah, this is the level that we're at now.
It's like League One's great because you remember players like Nathan Delafonso exist.
And Jay Spearin.
It's like they, when that lad came on, like, who's that? Comment?
Is he still playing?
Charlie Adam, where's he gone? But League One is. It's good football to watch from a fan's perspective because you don't really know what's going to happen, but it's not like when you're in the Premiership where if you make one mistake at the back of the net, like you can do that 5 times in a game, which Flanagan and Baldwin seem like to do, like, but if you don't have someone like Josh Maguire like on the other side of the team who can just bang in the chances, you can get away with mistakes.
Speaking of Maguire, it was quite surprising that there was no repercussions in the away crowd of the fact that the news this week that he's been sold over a contract. There seemed to be no animosity, and I was thinking, had he... I thought there might have been a few grumblings about him.
Yeah, I mean, because there's that point where like there's people saying, if you want to stay, just sign the contract, and I get that, I do get that, but I think, I don't know, you've got to think it's modern day football. He's going to weigh up his options. I think as long as he keeps sticking the ball in the back of the net whilst he's here, I'm happy. I'd like him to stay a lot longer, but I'm also realistic, and I think it's horrible to say, but it seems like Cardiff sniffing around him. If you're a footballer with any level of confidence, you're going to fancy your chances and go. He's not going to go, I think I'm exactly the same as Joe Lasso, or I'm about as good as that, I'll probably get in the team for a few games and be out. He's going to think that he can get in a team like Cardiff and score goals, because as a footballer and as a young kid, you should be that confident. Yeah. So you've got to respect that, I suppose.
But it's a case of, again, totally, in my perspective, it's totally professional performance from him.
Yeah.
But it's like, he's not shirking it, and he's putting the challenges in. And also, what do you think about they played Maguire and Wyke today?
I think it took so much off Maguire to have someone just I want to say doing the dirty work, but like it was just having someone that you could hit and having a focal point allowed Maggio to sort of, I don't know if it was intentional, but I was saying like during the match day, it looks like he's dropped into that Maguire position. And like he's really, I mean, his touch at this level is ridiculous.
Oh,
for
God,
a 20-year-old kid, his touch is ridiculous. And like Charlie White just roughing people up, just giving so much more space. And like you had Ngidi on one wing. I mean, when you think about it, we've got no Watmore in that team today, and Maguire came on late, who at the start of the season you would have both put in there where they were about to feel both fit in the first team.
Would you put like Maguire and Watmore on either wing? Oh, well,
we've got a lot of options going forward, haven't we? Like it's at this level, it's kind
of abundance of riches, riches, isn't it?
Brilliant at this level.
And the fact that White can, he does the donkey work that a lot of supporters kind of expect Maggio to do, but he's kind of not that, he's not really that player. And if you if you have White doing that, you know, the hard yards and letting Maggio have a bit of a free roll behind him, it's absolutely fantastic.
There was points today when Maggio was getting the ball and he was able to run with it. I haven't actually seen Maggio like run with it that often. He kind of has a good touch, a couple of touches, puts the ball in about the net. But like today we were able to play those long balls from Baldwin and Flanagan, which sometimes comes straight back when Maggio's there, because White was winning it and just laying it off to someone like Ngidi or Maggio. And Max Power even got forward a little bit today as well. And I think, I don't know, I mean, the Burton game I was saying, oh yeah, yeah, too fun, and then we were crap, and then he got injured and got used to like, but I think today we're starting to see Charlie White coming back when he's actually fit. He looks a lot fitter than he did when he first came back.
I feel that when that Burton game, I felt he was rushed back a little too soon. I think Jack Ross was kind of eager to get him back in the team, because we weren't going through a bad run of form, we're just drawing a load of games. But I think now we've taken our time, because we've got into a good run of form, we're rich, you know, winning games. So you don't need, same with Watmore, you don't need to rush them back anymore.
And apparently Watmore was rested today because he had three games back in a week. Apparently his dad tweeted about it, so that makes sense. But imagine
his dad told him, he don't play our Duncan. Duncan's had a bit too much over Christmas.
It's been a real tough week.
It's been a real tough week. We're
take
at
your
Duncan.
Time. Take your time, Duncan. Don't do your knee. But imagine they having the ability to be able to not even put him on the bench, because you've got Charlie White back, what looks fully fit, Maggio, Maguire, Ngidi. Like there's a Gucci, even. I mean, Gucci was improved today.
Him kicking off. Is it first or second half?
Second half with that ladder.
He just ran over, getting in everyone's faces. But you know, as a supporter, you like to see that.
I do get the feeling. I mean, I like seeing it, but at the same time, I do kind of feel like if someone actually had hit Lyndon Gucci, it would have been like that immediate drop. You know what I mean? Like you should have just left it, Lyndon.
The small man syndrome.
Yeah, definitely the small man syndrome with Lyndon Gucci. But yeah, you know, it had a good game today, and I think I quite liked how him and Ngidi actually switched wings.
It was 1-0 to Sunderland.
I've never seen as many away fans in this town as I have.
Alright. Are you from around here?
I've lived here for like 6 months, but I've just moved here basically.
Alright,
so
okay. Alright, cheers. No one's paid. So there's even regulars saying impressed by Sunderland's away following.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if you give us like 10,000 tickets, we tend to take them. Like, we'll always have a core fan base of at least, what, 1,000, 2,000 away fans, and then you get like,
I just want to point out,
it's Blackpool away on New Year's Day.
Yeah, no, like, no, and everyone's getting very excited about it.
But like everyone's off. Like it's a bloody good away. Like it's a good away attendance. Don't get me wrong, but like it's also set up perfectly. Neither one goes to see Blackpool, so you've got like what 8,000 tickets there. It's New Year's Day, everyone's off.
Yeah,
but exactly. Saying that, it might be different if all that come from Glasgow, not wanting to like toot my own.
Are you from Glasgow, mate?
Yeah, mate.
The thing about, and also it is the word for the Blackpool supporters. Well, I spoke to, we spoke to the head of supporters group outside.
Yeah.
And it is really sad team like, as we've been speaking about before today, because the last time we played here, we were sixth in the Premier League. They were 11th. And it speaks volumes of the fact that both of us are having to play at this level. Is absolutely like,
yeah,
I mean, we've been mismanaged a lot, but
not
Christ
level,
alive, he is.
You look at like that today with Blackpool and all right, and it's like, I quite like shithousing teams in this league, if I'm honest with you. I quite like Plymouth and getting them angry and getting their Twitter page all riled up. I quite like that, but Blackpool, I didn't really want to load it over anyone today.
No,
there was no one there to load it over, but if there was, I didn't really want to. I feel really bad for them because no football club apart from Newcastle deserves that level of mismanagement. If it's Newcastle, you can do what you want.
Well, another thing, they all moan about, our friends up the road all moan about how mismanagement, it's like, well, come down here.
Yeah.
Come down here and see how...
See how bad mismanagement can be.
Yeah, and how it's decimated a town, decimated a club.
Yeah.
And the fact that now they won't even go to watch away matches because they're so disillusioned about that. But, getting back to today...
Yeah.
A really hard fought win. And I don't know. Have you seen any results today? I've not seen any.
I think Pompey won. I think.
Oh, did they? Well, anyway, but it keeps the pressure up.
As long as we keep winning, that's what matters.
That's exactly it. So, I mean, also it's ahead of a really big week now. So, what do you think to the rest of this week? Well, there's Charlton next, and then unfortunately we have that Newcastle game right before.
Who?
Luton.
Oh yeah.
That's right. Those pricks reserves.
They're two really tough games. Like, I think Charlton, I think, in my opinion, a few people talk about Barnsley being the best side at the stadium like the season, but if I'm honest with you, I think people forget how good Charlton were when they came to the stadium.
That Lyle Taylor up front. Which we tried to sign in the summer, obviously.
And then you've got Luton coming up, who were on a cracking run of form, or were up until the other day when they got beat, I think.
Kazenga Luwalawa, for fuck's sake.
They've got Luwalawa.
Yeah, he scored last... Anyway.
Kazenga?
Yeah, he scored last minute against Walsall.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what I mean about players just turn up at teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know what goes on with that. But, yeah, it's tough, and I don't want to be like overly confident, but like realistically we should be putting teams away. Yes, you've got to be like confident. Like Shrewsbury game, I didn't cry my eyes out with Shrewsbury. It's going to happen. It's not going to be
punch
turn up and beat teams. But in big games like Charlton away, Luton at home, I'd like 4 points minimum.
Here's a question for you. Obviously you got Newcastle reserves during the week before Luton, right? Do you rest the players for Luton? But what's more important?
Newcastle or Luton?
But the fear.
There is a big fear with that Newcastle game, but at the same time, like, even if you... Oh, I don't know. I don't want it to exist, to be honest with you.
Are you going to go?
Sadly, I.
Yeah.
Because I hate their under 21s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hate their first team, I hate their under 11s. No offence to them, but. I want to beat them, but I think in the grand scheme of things. I want to get promoted and beat Luton, but if we drew against Luton, it would beat the Mags.
Beat the Mags on penalties and then beat Luton on the weekend.
That's fine.
That'll do.
Yeah, that's
right,
perfect.
Just to finish off. How much did you enjoy Blackpool as a town today? Since it's every corner you turn, every pub you went into, everyone's got a southern accent, apart from me, obviously.
I really enjoyed it, but it's not my kind of town. It's like South Shields on steroids.
And I'm happy we'll leave it there. Well, that's it from Blackpool. We've had a lovely time out, and the lads have picked up a good 3 points, and hopefully... 3 points over Charlton, and then we're into 2019, and then we'll
progress to the Checker Trade final.
And then we're going to win the Checker Trade trophy. All right, cheers, all the best.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.